internatural and supernatural worlds that surround us. Here we delve into those topics that challenge us to think outside the limitations of realism, where we test the boundaries of imagination and are forced to think outside the confines and restrictions of what is normal. We are the creators, the writers, the artists, and the insane. Welcome to our weird realities.
For decades, people have speculated and debated about how to prepare for the zombie apocalypse and to kill zombies. One of the biggest debates has been about what guns are most effective at putting down the dead. There's no mystery about the categories of firearm you need: rifle, shotgun, and handgun. The reasoning is the same for any defensive situation. You need a rifle for medium distance precision shots, a shotgun for up close and power, and a handgun for a last ditch defense. Welcome to Weird Wednesday. I am Hadley Thorne, paranormal fantasy author and founder of Weird Realities. With stricter gun laws in the news, I have been wondering how this could impact my zombie apocalypse plans, and I could think of no better crew to discuss it with than the Weird Kids, since most of them have written either a zombie apocalypse thriller or have a personal plan. So let's do this, but before we get started, I would love to ask you to like, subscribe, and do all the things, leave any comments, and let us know how you like our Weird Wednesdays. So, guys, what do y'all think?
I said, I'm going to start with, while I am not at all disagreeing with the premise that nobody's anti-gun, I've never seen Michonne use anything but a katana. Yeah.
Oh, I've seen her use an AR.
No, really, I haven't. I've never seen her, but like I said, you know, I haven't watched it in a while either. So,
I can't recall a zombie novel, TV series, or movie in which firearms were not the primary weapon for getting rid of zombies.
Well, Shaun of the Dead, but they do end up using the rifle at the end. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Shaun of the Dead's one.
No, that's true.
Keith Blackmore's first novel, Mountain Man, very few guns in there. Very few guns.
Well, and it's a stretch, but Martin's Game of Thrones with the White Walkers. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed that. I like the non-gun, because you know at some point in time you're going to run out of ammo.
Yeah.
Oh, the guns. Well, they draw more in. You know, I mean, in my Five Roads to Texas series, I think that's the one that I wrote these. Yeah. I have some kids that are getting away from a college, and and they don't have guns, they don't have weapons, and they just, they become ghosts, you know, and that's kind of how they survive throughout the whole apocalypse, is they just are not seen. That's all. And that's a lot smarter than the guy with the biggest gun, because the guy with the biggest gun is going to draw a lot of attention.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. I think it also is going to depend on whether it's those super fast zombies or the ambling ones from Night of the Living Dead. You know, as to whether or not you would be better off with that kind of firepower. I personally, and it's been a long time, and I realize it was very early in the genre, and it's always going to be a classic, but Night of the Living Dead, I just always wondered, how did they not outrun them? You know? Well,
they never get tired. Let me take a second here and say hi to Whitney Jackson, hi to Landa, and hi to Lee Edwards. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Hi, everybody. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
They, you know, they wear you down, Morgana. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. Because you can't run forever. I mean, I run half the way down the block. I'm dead.
Oh, yeah. Well, you guns, see me guns, running, know there's something behind.
Guns are useful in the sense that, like the saying, you don't have to be faster than a bear. You just have to be faster than the other guy.
That's right.
Same with guns. You're guns are very valuable for someone to be shooting on the other side of the room while you're skittering away. out the back door, you know. I mean,
well, look, I would
rely on guns with the living. With the undead, I'd probably be more apt for melee weapons.
You know? No, you'd have to be in some good cardio, some good aerobics, because that, you know, after swinging a hammer, you're tired, you know, after, you know, 100 hits.
Just color me dead then, because,
you know, I've actually changed my my crap list that I put people onto a zombie bait list. And, you know, so I'm planning on certain people being there just to toss out so the rest of us can get away. I thought it was a good plan.
No, it is.
No, I mean, you know, weapons are great, but it depends where you are. I mean, you could have a 50 caliber machine gun with 100 crates of ammunition. If you're in New York City, what are you going to do? You're going to kill a couple of thousand zombies out of a city of what, 10 million? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, now if you have them like I do in the countryside, you know, you can take out the lone zombie that comes walking in. If a group comes in, you might be able to take them out, depending on the size, their speed. And like one thing is, I know a lot of guys who have 30 weapons and they have, you know, 1,000 rounds for each of them. What are you going to do if you have to hit the road?
Right.
You know,
that's heavy. I mean, extra ammo is heavy.
Yeah, you got to throw that into the back of your truck. And if your truck runs out of gas, you're going to have to leave it.
Yeah.
You know, and I always figured if you got 30 weapons, you know, I think after the, when you run out of the ammo for the fifth weapon, you're probably not in a good space anyways.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, then I think, you know, too, that you shouldn't at all have to rely on any one thing, because I think, you know, being versatile in what you can do is going to serve you better. Like say, there are going to be times you want quiet. You don't want, you know, all of that attention. So of course, you know, you would take that out, but, you know, then there are times like say, you know, the gun's going to do you a lot better. So it's definitely always going to have a place, but it's just a matter of knowing other means. So when you do run out of ammo or you do have to travel and don't have the means to carry all of it with you.
Oh, we were talking before we got on about things that we've seen overdone in movies. And one of the, and this is just personal experience that I had. When I was younger, we had this possum that would come eat my pet cat's food that lived outside. And my neighbor came over to kill the possum for me because I'm a girl, you know, didn't know what to do with it. And he came with this little bitty small caliber pistol. And he shot that possum 3 times and it still ran off and we never found it. I mean, it just did not kill the possum. So I have to say, how come you don't see those, you know, moments in books when that's the reality of it? Is there's sometimes a screwdriver is going to do you a lot better than a pistol will.
Yeah.
That's true, especially if you get him in the ear.
Going back to Joe's point, I think you need a weapon just as much for the living as you do for the living dead.
Yeah. Joe made a good point.
That's another thing, though, about that kind of annoys me about stories is every group people meet up with in the post-apoc are mean, they're bad, and I just, you know, I believe that most people are nice and really wouldn't be bad unless they felt threatened. So I think it would be more realistic for artists or authors to create the scenario where, okay, they meet, okay, they're going to help each other out, but then you see something in the group that causes the mistrust, and maybe in your mind you turn it into a bad situation. Right now it's like, we're good guys, we're meeting this group, and this group is in their camp, and they're bad guys because they want to kill us before we get to their camp. But we're good, so we kill them, and then we take over the camp, so the good guys win. You know, it's like, just, okay.
Well, I think that's interesting, and that's something I think The Walking Dead has kind of touched on in the last couple of seasons, is that just because you think that you're the good guys doesn't mean that you're not the villain in somebody else's story.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, you know, like what you're talking about, Joe, it'd be like playing an extended version of undead Sims. You know, everybody's just building community. That's not, I mean, for people playing that game, that's, they love that. But to me, to watch that on TV would be boring. So you got to make, you got to have, everybody's got to be the antagonist at some point. I mean, you can have groups join together, you know, get along, la-di-da, you know, like I'm sure you would, Joe, hold hands and we'll make bracelets and stuff.
Kumbaya. You know, yeah, I am about freaking kumbaya.
Yes. But I mean, you got it to make it exciting.
First night, I'm going home.
There you go. To make it, Rick is the villain in The Walking Dead. That's a good point, Lee, because if you look at it, I mean, I like Rick's character. But if you turn it and look at it, you could think, yeah, you know what? He is. You know, like when the Negan's group was all sleeping and they went in there to kill them all. You know, how many of those people were like, you know, just the guy that puts, you know, fertilizer out to grow vegetables?
Yeah. It's like Cobra Kai.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like you said, Hallie, anybody could be the villain in their own, in the story. So
once the battle begins, you have to kill the enemy. And the best way to kill the enemy, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying, you know, like one thing that comes to mind to me was, and when people argue with me, well, there's no zombie apocalypse, why do you need guns? I always argue, look what happened after Katrina.
Yeah.
The state, local, and federal government proved how useless they were. Yeah. And when you look at the people outside of New Orleans, the local residents who got together and prevented anybody from coming in and causing trouble, compared to the poor people that were stuck in that stadium, right, who were at the, you know, they were at the mercy of the gang members in that. I mean, I think it depends, because like where I am, if there was ever an apocalyptic situation, undead, Yellowstone explodes, everybody here would get together. We'd share resources and we would protect the neighborhood, which always brings to mind to me, what do you do? Do you make exceptions? If the woman shows up with a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old, do you let them in? You know, how many do you let in before your food supplies start to run short?
You know, and that's all going to be determined by oneself, too. You know, I mean, you know, you can get these young kids that are going to take off. They can run for a month and never get caught by a zombie. Somebody like me, who smoked for 40 years, done nothing but breathe in sawdust. And, you know, I mean, I'm not running away from crap, you know. So I better either have some guns or have a really good IDO, because the idea of running away from zombies. So
right. Well, you'd have
even the walking zombies. They're gonna catch me eventually. You know, but an hour into it, I'm just gonna say screw it and sit on a bench and wait for them.
Well, like one other thing that always gets me is, and I saw it on a TV show once, this family that built an underground bunker beneath the garage of their house. And they always had to keep somebody up top if there was ever an apocalyptic situation to guard it. I don't want to be underground. You know, if a 10,000 zombies converge on the house, I'm stuck underground until I drop dead. Right. You know, I want to at least have the mobility that if it gets bad, I can throw stuff in the car, break through the garage, and get out of the area.
You know, so, there is supposedly somewhere out in the desert, this bunker that's underground, you know, that all of these richer people have. Yes. And it's being guarded. You know, they've hired gunmen to guard it and this, that, and the other. And my thought on something like that is, as that gunman, do you think I'm going to let you in there when I've got family and friends that could benefit? You know, I think they have a lot of faith in hiring someone else.
Right.
To look over it.
And that was the whole premise of Romero's Land of the Dead.
Yeah.
You know, when the guy that was doing the dirty work for Dennis Hopper, I can't think of the actor's name, when he said, I'd like to buy an apartment up here. Oh, no, you're just one of the worker bees. He went out. He stole the vehicle. He was going to destroy the whole city to get revenge. I mean, I agree with you. You know, are you going to let your family, you know, get eaten by zombies? You know, so some rich millionaire or billionaire you know, who has
can live in luxury.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't want to say this because it'll be the title of Scott's next book, but what about zombie cryogenics? I mean, seriously, if you went underground, like Scott said, and you could go to sleep for 10 years in a completely secure facility, and you wake up, then you go outside and all the zombies are dead, or
thank you, Lee,
or a completely different world, or what have you. I mean, so cryogenics and the zombie apocalypse, that's worthy of some thought, I think.
What do you think, wake up 10. You wake up 10 years later, you find out the zombies run everything. You know, they're good CEOs, they're running the government really well.
I wouldn't want to be
Idiocracy.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be frozen. I'm afraid somebody be playing with me or something while I'm frozen. You know, you wake up and you're like,
Alan, have you
I was
seen
fully
yourself?
Dressed before this happened. What happened? I wouldn't trust that. Why not pull the plug on your cryo tubes?
Have you looked in a mirror?
I mean, come on, dude. Stick there, like your fingers up your nose, you know.
There's somebody for everybody, Joe.
Somebody would find you 100 years from now. It's like, why has he got his fingers up his nose? Let's defrost him. Yeah.
Those aren't his fingers. Anyways, on to something else. Okay, cryogenics fail.
I wouldn't trust to be frozen that long. You know, someone could just pull the plug. They get tired of spending that kind of money or whatever, you know, or watch guarding you, or they have to abandon you because the underground rabbit hole is, you know,
those
overrun.
Products, Alan. That's why Walmart's using it. It's trustworthy.
But I mean, even like Rick at the beginning of The Walking Dead, you know, he wakes up in a hospital with, you know, doors chained saying don't open and everything. Didn't have a clue. He was just left in a coma.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a bunker is a great idea, but I don't think it's something for long term.
I don't think
you
so.
You know,
either.
And the typical prepper may have a cabin or something they could go to, but the idea of an underground bunker, or unless they've got millions of dollars, is just probably not a reality.
Right.
You know, they're going to have a lot of guns. They're going to have a lot of food saved up. But what good is food, especially dehydrated food, when you never get the time to cook it because you're always getting chased down by zombies? Mm-hmm. You know, and my thing with prepping is that I would bet that a large percentage of preppers never get to their stock when it happens. You know?
Or it's expired by the time that they do get to it. Yeah. I mean, unless you're on top of that.
I mean, I've got like a month's supply of food that's good for 25 years. It's like an MRE. It lasts a long time. But I don't stockpile anything for more than a month because I figure if whatever happens is going to last more than a month, I'm probably not going to be able to stay in this location. Yeah. I'm probably going to have to move someplace else.
Well, so that's what I mean.
Yeah, why stockpile 2 years of food and then in a month you have to leave it all?
And then you got to leave it and you're just feeding the bad guys or it's getting contaminated by zombie juice. Because, Alan, zombies are pretty juicy these days.
Except the ones in the desert that are dried out. Now, my question was on the topic of no one's anti-gum, and I'm not degrading the people who do not like guns or want gun control. I understand. What will they do if there was a zombie apocalypse or a really disastrous zombie situation?
That's what I mean. No one will be against it. It's just I also believe there will be no divorce during the zombie apocalypse either.
No. Oh, honey, zombies. Oh, gee, kids, your mama was eaten by a zombie.
Yes, a lot of people are going to die. And plus, you have people that don't know how to operate a weapon.
Well, after writing two zombie series, or one zombie, one infected series, and reading hundreds and hundreds of them, my thoughts on guns in the Z-Pac has greatly changed. You know, I used to be the bigger the better, the more the merrier, that type of deal. And, you know, the older I get, the more I'm thinking silence and, you know, staying quiet and killing from a distance without noise.
Yeah.
That's what's going to get you. Yeah. You know, that's what's going to get you through it, because as soon as you start pulling the trigger, you go into an empty city which you'd have to go to Detroit, I think, to find that right now. and take a 22 caliber bullet and fire it off just one time and listen to it echo down the buildings and stuff. It's going to be heard for quite a distance. So, you know, I mean, yeah, the other guy can shoot all the guns he wants because I'm walking the other direction. You
know? Well, that's what I would want, is like a sniper rifle with a suppressor and some close in, you know, like a handgun with a suppressor. And then save the other stuff in case, oh, you got 100 of them coming your way. Okay, let's go all Rambo on their dead butts.
Yeah. Have you ever heard a gun with us? Well, you're CIA, so I'm sure you have heard guns.
Yeah.
Because they're like a pneumatic hammer on a job site.
Yeah.
Right.
And you can hear that thump for quite
it's not silent.
No, it's not silent. No, but still, if you're shooting at a zombie, you know,
probably wouldn't echo the same.
It's going to be a lot easier for, you know, it'd be a lot quieter than if you like shoot at them with a 50 caliber.
Right. 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 You're just ringing the dinner bell. You know, that's all you're doing. Damn right. And Scott, you probably heard the sounds so firsthand.
No, we didn't use suppressors. I'm not saying, before I went to Iraq, we had to have weapons training. So.
Right. Oh, you're not the terminal list guy? You're not that guy?
No.
No spoilers. I'm only halfway through.
I'm only in episode 2.
Okay. Yeah. My
What? Terminal list?
Uh-huh. Yeah. With Chris Pratt.
Yeah. No, I just read that.
I've really enjoyed the terminal list.
There was a 7-day sniper school offered by the agency. And I asked my boss if I could do it. And I was doing export control. And she looked at me and she says, if you can figure out a way to make sniper school part of commerce and economic controls and export controls, I'll approve it. But wasn't smart enough to do that. Would have been fun, though.
I better not ask anything about that show. Because like Lee Edwards said, I have an idea, but I don't. It's probably not right.
I binged it and I asked Jen to watch it. So she's watched it too.
Yeah. My wife says, well, how come Chris Pratt is acting like that? You know, cause you're used to Chris Pratt being, you know, funny
together.
And I said, hey, if that happened to you and I was the commando guy, I said, I'd be the same way, you know, but you know, everybody likes Chris Pratt funny.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But he's doing a really good job.
Oh yeah.
You know, for it to be so far off from what he normally does.
Yeah.
There's a couple of times I swear he's making the Arnold Schwarzenegger face. And I can tell that he's been spending a lot of time with me because he'll have that it's just an Arnold look on his face. Just like
from his
mother-in-law.
He had his brother-in-law in that. He's the guy at the beginning, one of the young SEALs, Patrick Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay, this is a spoiler, but in the scene when he gets out of the car that he's in with the journalist and he shoots the operator that's following him, that's Jack Carr.
I haven't seen that.
Question, are there zombies in this show?
No. Sorry, back to Puck on Topic. Well, so are there any books out there that the zombie survivors of the apocalypse aren't using guns?
Oh, what's his name? Ricky Fleet. Ricky Fleet. I think a lot of his books.
Oh, really?
Don't use a lot of guns.
Jerry Vos. He's kind of a confused college professor, but he has in his zombie apocalypse, everybody kind of resorts to these modernized medieval weapons, and he actually gets down to the knights and the shining armor, and that's taking on the hordes of zombies, and you know, and that gets all very religious with one guy as the chosen, and you know, and I got 5 books into that series, and then I never heard anymore. I started talking to him online and kind of realized that he's a little different. And he's a nice guy. And him and I talk all the time. We banter all the time.
Is he in Is he in a reenactment group or anything?
No, I don't know anybody in reenactment group.
Okay, I do.
Yeah, oh. Yeah, and I think David Moody's first.
Are you in a reenactment group, Adley?
I was years ago. Some of my friends are, and that kind of. I've heard them talk about their zombie. They all have zombie apocalypse plans, by the way. They're very prepared. In more ways than one.
SCA, isn't it? Isn't that what they call it?
They're very prepared.
In my Zombie Rush series, which is no longer.
But I mean, the medieval times were prepared. You got a castle. You got a moat. Yeah. You know, you've got trebuchets. You know, those zombies aren't breaking in. Yeah, you can have a grand time. You know, you could do a charge of knights in shining armor. I mean, it would be very hard for a zombie to eat through. That'd be like eating tuna fish through a can, you know.
But they pull you off the horse, though, and now you're done.
But still, you got all that armor on you.
I can't get up.
There's a couple out there where, you know, that I've read where there really isn't any ammunition for anybody to use, so they've gone into the weapons and our melee weapons and bows and arrows and things like that instead of guns. But by that time, there's really no zombies left in the world either. You know, those ones that do exist are very, very ripe.
I mean, when I write, if I'm going to have like a lot of guns, I'm going to have a lot of zombies. You know, it's a battle. It's a war. But I always try to find unique ways to kill them. Make it different so people like, wow. You know, I got to read his next book.
That makes sense.
There was some zombie series I read that was out of the UK that I can't think of what it was called. It was pretty good. But I can't remember who wrote it now, but they ended up like in a castle in France. And I was thinking that was a good idea.
Yeah.
Melanchelia, he has Mr. Smith with him, who is the hitman who he signed on with.
Did he have a dog? Cause I remember the dog. That's why I read the book.
Had a dog. Well, you gotta have a dog.
Yeah.
I agree, but
you don't have a dog.
Don't ask Scott Baker about the dog.
What?
Did you kill the dog, Scott?
No, not in my main books.
Not yet.
No. I have been told by so many fans, I can wipe out everybody in Nurse Alyssa, but if Archer or Blankhead get killed, they're going to hunt me down and string me up. So,
hey, people be serious about the dogs now.
Yeah,
Americans and dogs are just really... I mean, the rest of the world's catching on, but they're not on par with the United States. I heard that we spent over like $17 billion in pet food and supplies last year, and I bet $12 billion of that was in the United States.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in Jaws, the only scene that bothered me was when the guy's walking along the beach calling his dog, and all you see is the dog. You know, kids are getting ripped apart by the shark. The young girl at the beginning, you know, Quint getting bitten. I could kill her.
Yep.
Now, zombie dogs. There's an idea.
Yeah.
Resident Evil
did a very good version of that. But they weren't really zombies, you know. I mean, they were infected, converted, what have you. But yeah, the dogs in Resident Evil were brilliant.
Yeah,
I've never watched any of the Resident Evil movies.
Yeah. Really?
What?
No.
It's like I don't even know you.
I know. Every time I talk about what I haven't watched, you say that.
You want to read something that will turn your stomach? Is Keith Blackmore in his Mountain Man series did something called The Hospital, where he goes.
Yeah, I read that.
And he goes into the nursery.
Yeah, see, I don't like writing that. All these
babies are trying to gum him.
I don't remember which one of his books, but I think there was one book that there was a rocking chair scene.
Yeah.
Does anybody remember that?
No.
It was like the guy was downstairs and he could hear something, And it just, it was probably one of the most suspenseful bits of literature I've read, because, I mean, years later, it still sticks with me. That really scared me from reading it.
Return of the Living Dead.
I know which one. You're talking about the half dog.
Yeah, that's great. The Anatomy Dog. That
yeah.
Yeah.
I love that movie. Send more paramedics.
You know, I hated they talked and you couldn't kill them. I hated that.
See, I liked that because it was different.
It was.
And that's why I think the zombie genre survives, because just as people are starting to get bored with it, somebody comes along like Shaun of the Dead in Zombieland. Ooh, Zomcox. Yeah. You know, and then they start getting boring as hell. And then somebody comes along with another concept that is by like fast zombies.
Well, you know,
the Koreans. I mean, the Korean. I love the way I love the turning scenes in a Korean zombie movie where they start and the bones crack and they like stand up backwards.
No, they do them well. They do them better than we do.
Yeah,
and nothing's more boring than a stationary zombie story to me. Yeah. People are stuck in a farmhouse anymore. That's just that. It's just overly done, and I haven't seen anything really original in that.
No,
that trope. You know, so to me, when I see one where they're trapped in a house, zombies outside, it's like I'll bypass it because I've seen that a million times.
This isn't going to end good for anyone. You know, yeah. I know what's going to happen. Everyone's going to die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's right.
True. A lot of infighting. You know, or go upstairs.
What was it? Dawn of the Dead, where they were in the mall. I remember when I was a kid watching that, thinking, oh my God, that's the coolest idea. Where else would you want to be?
Yes.
You know, but one zombie with a memory and screws it for everybody.
Right. And they got a little greedy too. You know, they can't have our stuff, you know, and then it's like they could have hid.
Well, I was thinking, and you need the card to get in. Oh, you don't have a card. Oh.
Are we talking the first version of that or the second?
First one.
Yeah.
Do you think that was better?
It's for nostalgia. Yes. The second one was scarier, though, I thought, and more intense.
Yeah. It was one of the few. It was one of the few non-Korean zombie movies that did fast zombies well.
Oh, yeah. The one-armed zombie that runs up to the loading bay. You know, they're trying to shut the door. I mean, like, oh, my gosh. Close that door.
Looks like Lee Edwards is going to be eating monkey chow. You saw his last chapter.
There's a great scene in one of Brian Keene's books when they're helicoptering out of a city. And they fly over the zoo, and he's watching the zombies attack the zoo and rip apart all the animals, like the elephants are defending themselves. And
that sounds terrible.
I know.
I don't think I can watch that.
It's very like, you know, the elephants are defending themselves. The giraffe are just trying to get away. But it was unique, you know, and that's what stuck in my mind.
Well, they have that. He had a zombie lion in one of his stories.
Yes,
where the protagonist is hiding in the bathroom, and she gets chased. I think it's she gets chased into the bathroom by these guys, and the zombie lion ends up tearing those guys apart. Mm. I thought it was a pretty cool scene. He's got some unique. I'm not a big fan of his.
No.
I'm a fan of his books, but he had some really good ideas. Zombie rats. I mean,
zombie
animals bothers me.
Yeah.
And there, who was it? It might be one of I can't think of John. Gosh, what's his name? He does. He's a pilot.
John Clark.
He's been on, I think, Joe's show.
JL Bourne.
No, John.
Nick Cole.
I'm going to have to look up because I've read his books.
John O'Brien.
I think it's one of John O'Brien's books where they have like whatever the virus is, it gets into the pigs.
Oh.
I could be wrong.
That was a survivalist series.
Was it?
Yeah, where they had, you know, because there's still slightly functioning kind of a backwoods economy going on in there.
Yeah,
and they had the pigs. People were infecting the pigs, and
See, like, Keene had seagulls.
Yeah,
infected, and once you have that, the people were stuck on an oil rig.
Yeah,
you know, they had to put nets up and stuff, but that was you know, you knew they were going to eventually die, and and so guns wouldn't even help you.
No, after a while. I mean, you know. I would not mind being killed by a zombie shark, zombie bear, zombie wildcat, but please don't let me get eaten alive by a pack of zombie chipmunks. You know, I could just picture my wife. How did he die? He was eaten by 1,000 chipmunks. She laughed.
Even if they have sweaters with like A on it.
Yeah.
Especially those.
Yeah. But he had a... zombie killer whales and sharks. Hey, Mark. So he went all out.
Yeah, he did. He did. But he told me that was the idea. You couldn't defend against rats, mosquitoes, insects, the small. Yeah, you could blow apart a zombie bear, but. You know, what are you going to do with a horde of like 10,000 rats coming into your facility?
When you start looking at the disease aspect of it and how diseases can jump, I mean, you can come up with some crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah. To me, it's just too nihilistic.
You got to be careful of that, too, because if you create a disease that is so infectious, you might as well go with the whole immunity thing and just bring the world down to 1%. Population and go with your story from there, you know.
Well, it's definitely very bleak. There was one that I read that was so bleak like that, I was so depressed after even thinking about it. It makes me depressed.
Well, that's how Brian Keene's books are, but they're good. They're really good. Yeah. I mean, they re-energize my interest in zombies. I mean, those, you know. So I recommend those books.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
The Rising, and then the next one was City of the Dead.
Who is that? Brian Keene.
Brian Keene.
K-E-E-N-E.
Yeah.
Well, y'all need to have him on Lowballing.
Lowballing.
Yeah.
I know him. I could reach out to him if you guys want.
The guy who runs that show has got to get his head pulled out.
Right?
Well, you can't blame him. I mean, look who he is.
Yep, that's true.
Look at his partner. Look at his producer. Oh, my God.
Couple of poor old uneducated slobs trying that's to act right. smart. That's
now, right. every year it's I used sad. To have Brian sad, and JF Gonzalez come out to the agency for their yearly. And they were some of the most popular writers to come out there.
Well, I bet. The clickers. They did the clickers together, right?
Oh, my God,
right?
Those clickers. I love those.
Yeah.
What are the clickers?
Oh, man. They're like giant crabs, right? Something like that. I forgot. Oh. It's been so long since I read it.
That's terrible.
They're horrible. They tear you apart.
They're like scorpion crabs. Yeah. I think
that's they
were
terrible.
I think they were like Cthulhu bait.
Yeah.
Okay, there are just some things that should not be allowed to be part of an apocalyptic nightmare.
Yeah, you know, right?
Spiders, you know, scorpion crabs.
Ugh. Murder hornets.
Yeah, murder hornets. Because, you know, some things you just can't get away from because they can get in tiny spaces.
Oh, no. See, and I don't write nihilistic, so I'll read nihilistic, but I don't like writing it. Mm. You could call my middle name Hope. I always like to have hope for my characters.
Oh, Alan.
You know.
Alan and his hope.
My hope.
Not Scott Baker.
Yeah, not Scott.
What book I'm writing, yo. I mean, some of them I want to be very dark and, you know, is there going to be a future? But,
you know, I like Hope, too. And it's really funny because I love Stephen King. And the thing about it is I tell people that tell me how much they love his movies. I'm like, you don't understand. Nobody is sacred in his books. You know, there's never a happy ending.
Yeah.
Yet I still go back and read them.
So, what do you think, Jen?
She fell asleep.
She put us on snooze.
I had fun. Didn't have that because I was like making noises.
I just forgot you were here. It's like, oh yeah, Jen. Hey, what's going on? I'm sorry, I'm fighting allergies right now, so if I disappear, it's going to be to blow my nose.
Yeah, feel free.
All right, guys. Well, so let's talk about what we're moving on to. Hey, Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Hi, Laura. So, hi, Alan, Laura. You want to talk about, I know we got Watching Weird tomorrow. You want to talk about what's going to be happening in Watching Weird World for the next, for the months of July?
Oh, yeah. We've got some good movies coming up this July. It's all themed out. Tomorrow, we're doing a modern horror flicks because we haven't done some really modern horror flicks in a while. So we're doing St. Maud, Titanic 666, The Deep House, and Blood Red Sky. Yeah. So those will be the movies we're doing. And we'll be talking other stuff too. You know us. We just we'll talk. And then the next week we're doing Evil Kids. Horror movies that have the theme of evil kids. And we've got some picked out. I don't know all the ones we have. After that, it's going to be water horror. Creatures, ghosts in the lake, at the ocean, in your swimming pool. Just a summer theme. You know, everybody goes in the water during the summer. We're going to show you how horrible it can be. And then our last week of summer during Shark Week, we're going to have a Jaws themed show. So we're going to talk about all the Jaws movies. And then we're going to tack on our favorite or not so favorite shark movies. They could be silly, Nazi sharks, sharks with lasers on their heads, sharktopuses, whatever. We'll be talking that too. So it'll be all sharks, the last show we do this month.
Y'all aren't going to do like a Sharknado marathon?
We don't have that. I don't know. That's something we could always look to in the future. I know a few people here have not been fans of the Sharknado.
I would be one. I was being totally sarcastic.
I love Sharknado. Don't pick on those movies.
I like the first three or four. I didn't make it through some of the other ones, and I got to catch the last one.
Oh, you got more than time traveling Sharknado.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, Joe. There's like, what, six?
12.
I think there's only five.
Only five? Okay.
Yeah. So wow.
I think I saw the first three missed.
I'm still waiting on the Frognado for
what has happened to society where that's considered entertainment?
Well, it started off, I think, as a joke. The movie did.
It was just got worse.
And then it found traction in today's society.
Yeah, it like Snakes on a Plane. It started out with a title. Yeah. You know, hey, what can we do? You know, and actually Snakes on a Plane's
if a joke takes
one of my favorite movies.
If a joke takes eight movies to get to the punchline, it's not a very good joke.
Well, but they have a lot of guest stars on it. You know, a lot of personalities, celebrities, sports personalities on there. They get eaten by the sharks. And that was a big deal. That was the big, you know, because as silly as it was, that was people like to see, you know, Danny Bonaduce get eaten by a shark or, you know, LeBron James. Well, not LeBron James, but that guy that goes over to Korea all the time.
In the fourth
Dennis Rodman get eaten by a shark.
In the fourth movie, they have Al Roker and the host of the show. I can't remember his name. They were the funniest part of the movie because they played it perfectly straight. They were doing newscasts and weathercasts as if a Sharknado was actually hitting New York. And it was like, you
there
know,
you
just
go.
Both these guys
there you go.
So
I'm
serious
it's quality
with the
cinema.
Rest of the movie.
Yeah, it's just silly. They're fun if you don't take it too serious. And oh, if you make a drinking game out of it, they're fun. Because that's what we did on the second one. But they're fun. So that's what we have planned this month in July. Next month we'll have it out again and we'll have some new movies and we might have some guest hosts and giveaways and stuff like that. We're just looking to improve the Watching Weird review brand with the four of us: Rich Restucci, Hadley over there in the corner, Scott Baker above me, and myself. And you never know, we've had Joe on, we've had Morgana on, and I think we had Jen on. I'm not sure.
She came on for
the Tarantino show, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That was
Show.
So we have some great guests. So, and we hope you join us and have a good time with us. We have a good time. So have a good time with us.
Every Thursday starting at 9 Central.
Yep. And 7 p.m. Pacific for anybody where I'm at.
That's and 10 Eastern.
10 Eastern.
All right. So that's what we got, Hadley.
Okay. And Morgana, what you got going on?
Well, we've been on a short hiatus. We'll be back on the 15th. When we left, we were doing Missing Lands, and we had done Atlantis. So when we come back,
and
on
this
the 15th,
is on Weird Awakenings.
Yes, Weird Awakenings.
Fridays.
Yep, 7 Central, 8 Eastern. And so we're going to pick back up on Missing Lands, and we're going to touch on Lemuria and Mu. And then I think the 22nd, we've got Native American mysticism. And then the 29th, we have the Fae.
Oh.
And do you have any guests coming up?
Maybe. You know, it's kind of tentative at this moment. But, yes, we are going to start having some people on, you know, some that, you know, it's kind of their special field and everything. And some just, you know, hanging out with us. So nice. I will be posting them on, you know, the Facebook page and everything as that comes up.
And that is Weird Awakenings is a kind of like a project that we do with the guys over at the Where in the Folk podcast and our good friend, Mr. Stephen Hill. If y'all have not tuned into it, you should. It is a fun group. And like she said, she'll be having more people from outside of the group coming in. And I stop by when I can because they always have some great topics to talk about.
And we always have fun. I mean, you know, it's just, and that I think is a lot of it right there. It's just, you know, everybody having a good time and, you know, chemistry's great. So, you know, we enjoy it. We want you
to always learn something from Stephen Hill, and I always end up laughing at Cecil.
That's so right.
Always a good time.
Exactly right.
My kids agree. You hear them barking in the background. Cecil, we love Cecil. Oh.
Cecil is definitely a character.
And Joe is on hiatus, I think, for a couple of weeks with Low Ballin', but he'll be back this fall.
Yeah, we've got, well, probably. I'll try to put something together for July. It's just summer in Minnesota. You've got to get so much done that I just got so much going on, so. Mm-hmm. I have to put it to the side because, you know, pursuing the authors that I want to interview takes time and usually takes a few no's before you get a yes. But I really want to help you guys see what it's like being part of the indie world. And a lot of these authors you idolize and wish you were like, you would realize that you actually are like them and you're going through the same struggles. They've just had a different result at this point.
I saw, I caught it live, your interview with GJ Moles, and that's one of the best interviews that I've seen in a long time. I really enjoyed it. Yes. And we had a huge turnout for it. That was a really good interview.
That was a good interview. I like doing that early in the morning, too.
I get a copy. I need to get a copy of that because I'd like to share it around. But,
oh, yeah, okay.
But, you know, it's I'm just too busy right now, and I'm an old man, and it takes me too long to do things. And once the weather turns and I get my shop built,
Jen's going to take you shopping for some clothes.
Yeah, we're going shopping. What are you talking about? Got to have time for
I'm excited about that. That'll be my back to school.
Yep, and you're the one.
Slutty outfit.
I think we lost Jen, but she's taking him to look for something skimpy. So.
Can you hear me?
We can now.
I can.
Okay. Well, I said we're going to go for something skimpy. Did you guys not hear that? Or
I heard that.
Hey, Jen, what you need to do is take him, get photos of Ric Flair and find out the skimpiest outfit that Ric Flair wore and get that for Joe.
I think rules that might be too much. Oh,
rules are, Jen. I wear it, you wear it.
I see a boa in your future.
A very thick, long boa.
Your pins are not skimpy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they make a thong in Depends.
If you go to Victoria's Secret, they have lace Depends now.
I don't even want to. I don't need that kind of visual picture right now, guys.
We're all enjoying the photo.
Doesn't have time.
So yeah, and now we're going on to Scott. Weird something. What did you show?
Weird news. Weird news.
Logan and I do the weird newscasts. Logan's very busy, and I haven't been able to do much traveling this summer because of family commitments here at home. We do have I already prepared it. Logan's working on getting it ready. It's a tour of the gravesite for Claude Rains, who we know him as the Invisible Man and Larry Talbot's father, who beats Larry Talbot to death at the end of the Wolfman with the silver cane. I got to visit. He's buried like an hour from my house. So I went there. I got pictures of the gravesite and where he lived when he passed away. I'm doing a bunch of movie reviews for some of the newer movies. I've got Titanic 666 reviewed. I got to put that up in an audio. I'm going to be reviewing The Sadness. And there's another movie that just came out. I don't remember the name of it. It's a paranormal movie. And in 2 weeks, I'm going to be going down to Connecticut, the Paracon convention. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to see what it's like. I'm really hoping I can find like a local paranormal team that will let me go on one of their ghost hunts with them for one of my novels. And on Labor Day, I'm going out to the big festival in Exeter, New Hampshire, where they spotted a UFO back in the, I think it was the 1960s or 70s.
Don't let anybody recruit you into a cult, Scott.
The love cults. But the Kool-Aid is so good.
Hey, get Liz before you go on one of those, or after you get done with one of those ghost hunts, man.
Oh, that I want.
Don't bring anything back home with you.
No, my next Tatiana book, not the one I'm finishing up. I want to have her be on like a Ghostbusters tour of an insane asylum when things go horribly wrong.
Ah.
Sounds good.
Yep. Weird murders, mysteries, and mayhem. We have just, I guess, been doing maybe one episode every couple of weeks. We need to get back on that. That is one of our, you know, people love the dynamic that we all have. It's usually Morgana, Scott, Jen, and, you know, whoever else shows up. And we have a great time doing our own little research. And it's always fun to see what we all think. And yeah. What we find.
I really liked your Dorothy Stratton one. That was really interesting.
Yeah.
I think that was either Jen or Gracie's.
I love the Dorothy's. I love Star 80. That was one of my favorite movies ever.
That was a good one. The one that I think was my favorite was the one about the Girl Scout camp in Oklahoma. That was crazy. And that's been solved, but it was still very interesting.
Oh, the cabin at the far end where the murders were committed.
Yeah, that was a good one for me. Yeah. That was a good one. But so now it's that time. And Jen, if you could give us an update on what is going on with our partners at Horror Writers, Inc.
Okay. You don't want to miss Horror Writers, Inc. Facebook community where Weird Kids, Joe Hansen, Alan Gamboa, Scott Baker, Rich Restucci, and Hadley Thorne are featured writers along with Sean Chesser, I hope I'm saying that right, Jonathan Mayberry, Jay Bauer, Jamie Hernandez, Stephen Kenny, J.B. Havens, Sylvester Barzi, Bethany Stutzman, Stephen Landry, Scott Van Patten, Theo Hodges, Brian Way, and many more. This week, the news from Horror Writers, Inc. includes a new release has been announced from D.A. Roberts in the form of Book 5 of the Apex Predator series, an anthology of 1980s slashers is being prepared by DW Hits for release this fall on, is it, I'm sorry, Heather, I don't know how to say that. Fedowar
Press.com.
Thank you. That You can find the list of 20 amazing authors participating and as well as pre-order this and the links. Gold Blood, book 4, in the Changed series by S.M. Little will be released later this month. And you also need to check out Mike Evans' Zombie on the Block series. The first 4 books are available for 99 cents each throughout July, thanks to Mike's special.
All right. And Mike has that set up where I think like the first book is 99 cents, like the first week. And then the second is 99 cents the second week and so on for the 4 weeks of that remain of July. But that's going to do it for this week's Weird Realities, guys. Tune in every Weird Wednesday to catch us live. You'll also be able to find us on Fridays at Fringe FM, and that will be at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Until next week, stay weird.
Good night.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Thanks for joining us.